Welcome to Women of the Future. This is episode 8, entitled Betraying Yourself. This series is dedicated to you, a lady anywhere in the globe who is interested in spirituality, who's interested in empowering the self and establishing a sense of self-reliance. This show affords you, the viewer, the opportunity to learn from a yogi who has been immersing herself in spirituality for many years. Sister Denise, it's always great to have you in the studio. Thank you for joining us, and thank you, viewer, for joining us. Betraying the self. Now, this is not something that one thinks about whilst having one's morning cup of coffee. This is something that hits you when you least expect it, and it is a subject that is pretty painful to even think about. But yet, Sister Denise, I think every lady listening to you will know at some point in her life she betrayed herself. What does this mean to do this? How do we shoot ourselves in the foot?
I think the whole question of betrayal is a huge one. And it causes huge emotions to get raised inside. Betrayal, when you feel that you are betrayed by someone else, it can really prevent you from operating properly because it's such a shock. And how that, getting betrayed by someone else, is linked to betraying yourself is a very interesting aspect, because why would you betray yourself? Unless you get predisposed to betraying yourself, you wouldn't. So what predisposes you to betray yourself is in your process of growing up, you get betrayed. There are assumptions. Your mother will stand up for you. Now, very often mothers don't stand up for their daughters. And one of the reasons is that the daughter is younger and more beautiful than the mother, who's about 20 years older. And so then there becomes a situation between the mother and the daughter where the father may prefer the daughter over the mother. And if the father is that way inclined, which many are, then the mother has to sort of shore up her position as the wife in the family by betraying her daughter. And then the daughter is abandoned by the mother at the mercy of a father who is not really respecting the correct relationship, and it becomes a little incestuous or a lot incestuous. And this is all very, very unspoken and denied and so on. But this is one of the setups that produces in a woman the sanskar to betray the self, because you will do to yourself what other people do to you. Especially when it's all denied and it's said, you know, no, there's nothing like this.
You will do to yourself what others have done to you. So you inherit negative traits?
I don't think you inherit it, but you absorb it. Because, you see, if someone betrays you and pretends they didn't betray you, you feel betrayed, but you have to pretend, go along with the pretense, that you weren't betrayed. And this is disturbing to the functionality of the psyche and causes you to start to do to yourself what others are doing to you or have done to you. It's a phenomenon. Because either you act in or you act out. And generally, it's considered socially acceptable in men to act out, but not in women. And so if a woman acts out, she will be very strongly penalized in comparison with how a man is not really penalized for it. So the woman tends to act in, which is where you start to betray yourself. Act in means that you do things that are really against yourself because you can't, or you're not allowed to defend yourself because all of these wrong things is pretended that they didn't exist, they don't happen, but they do, you see. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of the problem is denial. In people who are in positions of power. So the woman will betray herself partly because she's not in a position of power, especially when she's young and growing up. And so it becomes a survival technique. And then even when you're not in survival, even when you're not in a difficult situation where you could easily defend yourself, rather than doing what's totally reasonable, you will, you know, cut your foot. You will betray yourself. And now it's a question of how to unlearn that.
Okay, so if you find yourself in this position, and there are very few of us who are not in this position, how do you heal from that self-inflicted pain?
Well, I will call it unlearn rather than heal, although it's, of course, healing is involved because there's a lot of pain around the process. But I think we have to talk about unlearning because we have learned to do that by being in survival situations. So to unlearn something, we have to really see ourselves independently of the way other people look at us.
Is that similar to recreating your own identity?
Very much. Okay. Very much. When you're born, you look out and you see your mother and your father. And if your mother and father love you, then you say you're lovable. If they don't love you, you're not lovable. It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with them. So, and this continues as you grow up, and all the various different situations that you are in. A child is egocentric, which means I am the cause of what's happening to me. So if someone looks at me with negative feelings, it means I deserve it. It means I am bad. Now, in child development, you naturally, at some point, shift away from being egocentric to being on the side of the stage rather than center stage. But where in your egocentric process or period you have been damaged by these things, you can't continue your development, and you remain egocentric even when you're adult. This is where you get very childish adults. And it can happen either if bad things happen to you or if you have no structure, no boundaries, and you just grow up as a princess, we call it, or a, you know, in the case of little boys who are the adored darlings and everything they do is fine, they never learn anything. So the parenting process really needs to be looked at because it all starts in childhood. And parents generally do to their children what was done to them. So in that sense, that gets inherited or passed on from generation to generation. And I think that the education system or some means of education to get people to really rethink all the processes of parenting is a very important thing.
Sister Denise, a woman can and usually does betray herself in terms of her thought processes and attitudes, in terms of the way she speaks, and in terms of conduct. So there's more than one level of betrayal. And you find often that she'll say to herself, I shouldn't do this, okay? However, the attitude is not followed through in words or actions. And then that creates a it perpetuates the cycle of pain.
Well, in that case, she's betrayed by her feelings.
Oh, ouch. What does that mean?
Well, if you say, I shouldn't do this, and then you do it anyway, what makes you do it? Your feelings. That means your logic, your intellect is completely weak in comparison with the power of your feelings. And so in that sense, you're betrayed by your feelings.
Sister Denise, betraying yourself is, the way you've just defined it, is a marked weakness within a person.
A lot of it is because a person is intimidated.
Okay. My question is, do you work on the weakness or do you emerge a strength which will automatically neutralize the weakness? Where do you do the work?
You do the work on the strength. The mind, which is where you have all your feelings, the mind doesn't know the difference between yes and no. Okay. Between good and bad. You see, I use this example very often. Don't think about a green apple. What happens? Green apple.
Yeah.
Think about a green apple. Green apple comes.
Okay.
You see? So your mind, especially in the woman who is very much a feeling person, if you work on the weakness, in the process of working on the weakness, you make it weaker.
Ouch! Very few people know that.
So I wouldn't bother to work on the weakness. Work on the strength.
What is the strength that is the strengthening factor or the opposite of betraying the self? What is the virtue?
You know what happens? The goodness is the same thing as the strength. The weakness is the same thing as the badness. So if you focus on your badness, it'll get worse.
So, Sister Denise, the levels on which a lady can betray herself is not just on the level of behavior, it's also on the level of speech and her internal processes.
Yeah, you see, what happens to a woman who is experiencing that she's being betrayed or... you know, things are not going well for her, she will feel isolated, she will feel doubt in her value, and all of this makes a woman lose faith in herself. And when you don't have faith in yourself, that's when it's very easy to betray yourself.
Yes, Sister Denise, so I would like you to take us through the work that a lady has to do on all of those three levels in order to reverse her negative behavioral traits that causes her to shoot herself in the foot. The concern that I have is if such negative quality is perpetuated, it can lead to her demise on so many levels, and
it often
does.
The main thing is that there are many, many ways in which the woman experiences herself to be kind of pushed onto one side, and different kinds of injustices are done, insinuations, accusations, etc. So she gets ground down. And when you're getting ground down, it's really quite difficult to hold yourself up. You have to be really strong. Because the thing is, what's being ground down is your faith in yourself, your belief in yourself. So this is why the most important area to focus in is, I am valuable, I am important, I am true, I am real, and the things that I'm detecting which are getting denied, they're real. So what you're up against is an adversarial situation. And so therefore you have to really make yourself independent of your situation in terms of your feelings, because as soon as your feelings get prompted by your situation, it becomes overwhelming, and this is what makes you shoot yourself in the foot.
The difficulty in that is that Life is sending you all of these negative messages about who you are and what you are. And it could easily be the people that you love most and the people that surround you most of your life. And yet you have to keep your dignity, have and maintain a sense of self that is not influenced by all the negative messages.
Probably, if you have a very strong connection with the divine, so that your relationship with the divine is at least equal to and balancing your relationship with life's difficulties, then it's manageable, you see. But if a woman is told, you know, as is done in some places, your husband is your God, your guide, your everything, and very few men can actually live up to that, you know, and many actually go the opposite of it. So it's really the messages that the overall society is giving to women that a woman has to make herself independent of. That is a big task. But I think, again, if you have like programs like this which say these things openly, and it starts to become a reality that yourself is important, yourself is valuable, you are okay, your situation may be very difficult, but, you know, being with the Supreme, having access to other sources of support means that difference between being able to handle your situation and not being able to handle it.
Mr. Denise, I've seen many examples of women who have achieved amazing successes in their professional lives and yet have some internal issue, either with the relationship or a weakness that causes them to lose everything. And the reason I'm bringing such an example up is that self-betrayal or self-sabotage is not something that one can see if one is, what you call externally directed. It may be visible to other people, but not visible to you. How can one reach a stage where you're so self-aware that you can see yourself heading down the mountain at breakneck speed? A lot of women do not see that they're in a position of self-inflicted harm.
You know, self-sabotage is a habit, which means that it's happening again and again and again and again.
The woman's behavioral pattern, Sister Denise, may be visible to other people. That's causing her to shoot herself in the foot and to sabotage herself, but it may not be visible to her. So how does one recognize that you possess patterns of conduct or speech that are working against you?
You know, there's a phenomenon which is going to help in this. When you self-sabotage yourself and you cause your will to collapse around yourself, it's very painful. When you go into silence in that pain, that affords you an opportunity to see it. You get a glimpse of it where you really see what you are doing to destroy yourself. Unless it's really painful, you can't see it. But when it's really painful, you can see it. And so this is not a very pleasant situation, but it is the way. And once you've seen it, you can't not see it, you know it. And then you can start to redress the situation. But you have to take charge of your own life, take charge of your own responses to provocation, and really be creative and do it differently, because it's an option. It's not mandatory that you have to do that.
Yeah. I read an expression recently that goes, human beings are such that we will do anything to avoid facing ourselves. And Sister Denise, I understand exactly what you're saying. A certain level of introspection is needed. A certain level of wisdom is needed to come to this point where you put a halt on betraying the self. But it is a painful process even to look inside, because when you look inside, the first thing that you see is all your weaknesses in full technicolor glory. Okay? And then somebody on the path of self-betrayal and self-sabotage, part and parcel of the problem is you think you are your weaknesses and that's all that you are. You don't necessarily see your strengths as others see them. So how does one get past that initial hurdle of, fear?
You know, I don't think there's really any substitute for disconnecting yourself from your role. You know, it's a performance, it's a movie going on, and you're just, you know, you have to find a way to just observe it. And one way is, okay, there's a woman and all of this is going on. Now, how would you direct the situation if you were a film director, you know? And so it's really good piece of advice that we are told, you know, in Brahma Kumaris, look at everything as if it's a movie. You know, and you're just an actor. That is not your reality. That's a situation that you as an actor are in. Now, how are you going to get yourself out of it? It gives you an edge to deal with it.
Okay, and it creates perspective.
Yes.
I see. Okay, Sister Denise, I see we've come to the end of today's episode. Is there anything that you would like to leave our ladies with before we say goodbye to them on what has been an extremely fascinating half an hour?
I think what I would emphasize is you are not your role. You know, this is, you're an actor. You're performing a role, all your different circumstances. These are just situations in a big drama, in a big movie. And you also can be your own director and you can direct yourself however you want.
On that powerful note, we will have to say farewell to you at this stage. Betraying yourself or self-sabotage is a topic that one necessarily avoids because it's so painful to even listen to. But Sister Denise has drawn our attention to how important it is that one introspects. One asks oneself some important questions. You look at the way you think, the way you speak, and the way you behave, and ask yourself whether you've internalized any negative patterns or any social attitudes towards yourself that has caused you to shoot yourself in the foot. And Sister Denise has ended today's topic on emphasizing how important it is to play the role of an observer as far as your own life is concerned, to create some distance between yourself and your own life, and to look at it almost from the perspective of a third person in order to put right that which has gone wrong. A very deep and powerful message, and something that I hope has been of value to you. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you again soon. Take care. Goodbye.